Scott, we have a special release this week. It's Bonus Miles. We learned a week or two back about AJW and his autopsy. Remember when you were Dr. Warren, I was Dr. Freeman, and we tried to figure out what went wrong with this race for AJW? Well, he came back and reported, and we learned some of the things on this new race, and we wanted to share it with everybody. Usually, we reserve the post-recordings for Patreon members, but this is just good. We just want to share it with others.
It's Western States weekend. It's time to give back. And so we're going to let everyone have a taste of the bonus miles. If you want to hear all of the bonus miles, you can go to trailrunnernation.com and click on the Support Us tab, and you can become a Patreon, and then you'll get all of them.
Hey, and it's really not us being generous, Scott. It is the Patreon member sharing with the rest of the community. Let's give credit where credit's due. I think it's the Patreon member sharing, not us.
So here are the bonus miles with Andy Jones Wilkins. Andy is so infectious with this race. I mean, he's so passionate about it, and he's passionate about it for the right reason. Yeah, we talked about the elite runners, but that wasn't the story. The story is the race and the community, and he does that so well.
Well, I think that's why it works. Because it isn't a sports center report, you know, knowing about who's running fourth and fifth and who's chasing whom.
Hey Don, let me give you a visual first.
Oh yeah, I want to see Andy's feet.
Oh, those hurt.
And then this one.
For those of you who are listening to the bonus miles, Andy's holding his feet up to the camera. His feet are hamburger.
Yeah.
Can we get a picture of that, AJW? I'm sure you must have a picture we can include in the show notes.
So needless to say, I need to get that stuff cleaned up before my pacing gig starts on Saturday.
are you worried about 22 miles on those feet?
No, not right now, but it depends on how fast Scott's going.
You know, Andy, let me look in my kit. I may have some Hydrapel.
Oh, are you serious?
And you're more than welcome to have it if I have it.
I mean, I used up my last, remember how they went out of business? Like I squeezed every little last bit out of it to.
Yeah, let me look and see. I may have some Hydrapel, and if I have it, it's yours.
Oh, that would be so great. Oh man.
So, you just finished 100 miles. Walk us through a little bit of that. This is for our Patreon members. So they're the toughest of the group. You know, they can handle anything. If it gets detailed, they're good with it. They're all qualified.
Well, so, I love the gruesome explanations.
Well, it was not long ago, dear Patreon members, that we had our discussion of my first DNF. And the autopsy that Dr. Warren and Dr. Freeman performed on me. I have to say, the memory of the autopsy was floating around in my head out in Wyoming. But I will say, my hip, fortunately, the issues, as I mentioned in that previous podcast, the issues that come from that hip are very, they're very acute. In other words, you get kind of this grabbing pain, and it's just like it's just done. If I'm smart, I can make it not happen. So, like for the first 20 miles, that was my goal. So literally, when I got to mile 30, which is the second aid station at which I could see my crew, you know, and I got there in 8 hours. I wasn't going to be running 24 hours, don't get me wrong, but I got to mile 30 in 8 hours. At that point, I said, okay, I'm not going to drop out. Right? Like, I know I can run these next 70 miles, right? Because I had, whatever, 20-something hours still left on the clock and all that. So I was able to dispel the DNF demons in the first 30 miles and then just enjoy being out there until my feet went to crap. which we're still trying to, that's actually another autopsy that I'm performing with my wife, Shelley, because I haven't had really bad foot issues since 2009 because I switched to DryMax socks and I switched to Hydrapel and I switched to Hoka shoes. And all of a sudden these foot issues came out of nowhere. And so I don't know why I got them, but I did. And that certainly meant the last 18 miles took me 6.5 hours, which is pretty long for 18 miles for me. So, but it was enjoyable. I ate a lot of food. I spent time at the aid stations. I ran with a lot of different people. My youngest son, Tully, who's only 18 years old, paced me for the last 34 miles, which is pretty long for an 18-year-old. It was a hot day. I mean, it was actually a hot 2 days. Not Western States hot, but it was in the mid 90s. And as Scott knows, you live in Wyoming. You used to live in Wyoming. There are places that are shady and mountainous, but then there's these big, wide, exposed kind of cow pastures and high ranch land. It's beautiful, but it's hot. And so it was a good test. It was a good test. I'm glad I got it done. I got a Hard Rock qualifier, so I can be in the next 2 years worth of Hard Rock lotteries. So there's a lot of pluses in all this.
Was this Tully's longest run?
Oh, yeah. It was Tully's longest run. And more to the point, my other two sons have also paced me, but they haven't paced me that long.
So he has bragging rights.
Yeah, he's the youngest of the three, but he has bragging rights having paced dad the longest. So that's good.
Nice. How did he do?
Well, he did well until, so that if you don't know the Bighorn course, it has a 5-mile dirt road at the end. He was done at that point. He would have been happy to finish at 29 miles when the trail ended, right? And then gotten a ride. But I'm like, no, dude, we're doing the road too. So,
so walk us through what happened with the feet. Mile 30, yeah, hips good. And when did the feet decide to play?
This is interesting because there's some mixed data on the correlation between a sodium overload and sodium deficiency either side and the impact on feet because of the way the skin rubs together. So this race is unique in that it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and the first 30 miles are very hot and exposed. The next 36 miles are in a pretty steep canyon. They go up, it goes up 4,000 feet, turns around, comes down 4,000 feet. It's mostly shaded. What happened to me is I took a lot of sodium in the first 30 miles. It was the appropriate sodium that I was supposed to take, I think, you know, based on the science and all that. And then all of a sudden it cooled down and I stopped sweating. And my first indication was my hands. You guys have probably had this happen. My hands were like sausage, like my wedding rings were just like my hands just puffed up. And I was like, holy crap. So I got up to 48 and the medic was like, well, how are you doing? Are you peeing? How's your sodium? And she was like, oh, your sodium must be pretty good. Look at your hands. And then I started to feel my feet. Like I didn't feel any blisters yet, but I could feel that they were like filling up my shoes more than they normally do. Right. So now I have an 18-mile descent. And I think on that 18-mile descent, I started to chew them up. So by the time I got out into the second day and it started to get hot again and I started to drink again and go through creeks and pour water on my head and that water went down my shoes. It was like the damage had been done. And so I would say from mile 70 to the finish, I was compromised by bad feet. And from 90 to the finish, it was just walking it in.
So for those who are listening and have a similar situation, if you get to an aid station and your fingers are swollen, that means your toes and your feet are also swollen. What is the solution?
I wish I had an easy answer. Because your hands swell for a lot of different reasons. But if your hands are swelling, and you haven't urinated for a long time, so there's two parts to that. That means you're holding water. And if that's the case, you need to figure out a way to flush your system. You might be holding water because of excessive salt, which would mean if you cut down on salt and just drink water, eventually you'll flush your system out. But there's another argument that says, no, you're puffing up because you're sodium deprived. and you need more sodium to process the water and get it through your system. So that's why it's tricky. In my case, I decided to take more or less 6 hours off of salty foods. Like I ate a bowl of oatmeal up at that aid station, which didn't have any salt in it or very little salt. I started eating gels that didn't have salt in them. I just drank water. And then eventually, by the time the next day came, my swelling was down. But of course, the damage on my feet had been done already.
And that's the hard thing about this sport is, how many races have you run? A bunch. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got your recipe down. You've run hot, you've run cold, you've run medium, you've run in humid. And all of a sudden, this comes into action. It's like, what do you do with that? You just never know.
You've nailed it, Don. It's even if you've done 185 ultras, you don't know on that day what's going to happen. And it's how you react to what happened. I mean, fortunately for me, it happened late enough that I was able to mitigate against it and manage it and stuff. But if it had happened at mile 30, you know, I might have even had another DNF. So, I mean, it was interesting too, because I did go into the medical tent afterwards and got blister care right away because they have really good medical care at Bighorn. And when I went in there and I was talking, you know, the head lady was asking me how many ultras I've done. And so I told her and she was like, oh, you're good information. Why do you think we have so many foot problems today? And I was like, oh, you've had a lot of foot. She's like, oh, my God, I've been doing medical at this race for 14 years. We've never had foot problems like this. So that's the other thing, right? It was something that happened to me, but it was also something that was going on in the day. Which are variables that we may not know. I've reached out to the Facebook page of Bighorn and just said, hey, if any of you had foot problems, because I know a lot of people did and you have stories about them, I'd love to hear, you know, email me and I'd love to hear what your problems are, because maybe we could learn something from it. Because like you said, Don, we do these all the time, but we're still a relatively small sample size, right? You know, and I think because we're a small sample size, we've got to learn from these experiences. Now, of course, it made me feel better too, to know that tons of people were having foot problems, right? Because then it's like, oh, okay, well, there's safety in numbers. It wasn't just me being an idiot.
and the hard thing is, when you go looking for solutions, you get just what you gave us. Well, there's one school of thought that says this, mm-hmm. and there's another school, and then there are probably three or four other variables that we don't even account for because we don't know to include them in the equation.
That's right.
You know, whether it's the humidity, whether it's, you know, we got wet at a certain part of the trail that usually doesn't. I mean, there's so many things that
even
that can
happen. Before you came on, even the type of dust, right? You know, we know there's different type of dust at Western States than there is at Bighorn, and the grittiness of it and how it gets into your socks and things and how your skin reacts to it. Right? You don't know what's going to happen, and so that's part of the mystery.
And I would love to see the stats on, okay, what kind of socks were you wearing? What are the materials that was made out of? What shoe were you in? Were they a type of shoe that drains quickly or not? You know, on and on, you can go through and put all these variables and even speak about, what did you eat that day? Did you use caffeine? When did you start using it? I mean, you could draw a list that would complicate it to the point where you could probably go run another race and not have it before you could figure out where some of these parallels exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I was, you know, I will say to the Patreon listeners out there and to you guys, it really was good to do that DNF autopsy, because, you know, I don't want to say it was ever present, but it was certainly to have to think through, like in the week leading up to Bighorn, I didn't make any of the same mistakes that you guys surfaced like around sleep and nutrition and so forth that I made leading into World's End. And so I think there's a lesson there for everybody that when doing a debrief and doing it soon after you finish, whether it's a successful day or a unsuccessful day, is really valuable.
And to our discussion we just had about Jim Walmsley coming back, who right now may be the world's dominant runner when it comes to distance, speed, and in our sport, but you never know what's going to show up for Jim. What how is the day going to, how is he going to react to the day? What did he do the week before? And it makes it interesting to watch the race because you don't know.
That's right. That's right.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have to race at all, right? We put people on a treadmill, put a mask on a VO2 max on them, get their numbers, watch their leg turn over, and then we'd call the race.
Put a VR mask on them,
yeah.
Which is essentially what you do, right, HW, before our prognostication. You really run labs on people, break down. I mean, how extensively are you with this analysis? I can only imagine that as soon as the race is over and the lottery is picked for the next year, you're already on the job. You're already sorting, sampling, and watching.
I don't know if I'm that obsessive. I just can't help myself, you know?
Oh, yeah, you are.
He's had 2 years to think about this episode.
Well, great.
Andy, we hope to see you out in the course. And if I can find some Hydropel, I'll let you know.
That'd be great. Hey, guys, thank you so much. This is always fun.
Thanks for submitting the extra time, AJW. We appreciate it. And doing this extra recording and going over your race.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you.